Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be talking about delivery estimated wait times from Tesla. Tesla has cut these in both the United States and China for the Model Y. Talk about some of the implications there. And then we've also got kind of a multi-purpose thumbnail today if you are watching on YouTube. A couple of dumb things. First, one of the dumbest tests I've ever seen from an insurance company. I'm sure many of you are aware of that. We'll cover the details on that. And we've also got some updates from BMW on hydrogen. So a few things today that fall into that category. We've got some macro news. We've got a bunch of other Tesla items too, so it should be pretty action-packed. Let's hop right into it. So Tesla today, down about 0.75%, a little bit worse than the NASDAQ, which was down 0.6%, closing at $275.61. We can see here now that August is concluding, at least from the market perspective. Tesla faring a little bit worse, down 7% on the month versus the NASDAQ, down about 4.5%. So not that big of an underperformance given Tesla's beta. We have seen now for the last 5 days in a row, Tesla drop since the stock split. Of course, driven by mainly the macro, which has had 4 days down in a row for the NASDAQ at least. So hopefully we'll see some things turning around here, but may not happen tomorrow. One of the things that we're seeing here in after hours, some news from NVIDIA. They have announced that the United States has informed them that they are putting some restrictions on NVIDIA's ability to sell their A100 and H100 chips in China and Russia as well. NVIDIA said that they're not selling any in Russia though yet. They said this could be about a $400 million risk to sales in China. So given, you know, NVIDIA's revenue, it's not like the biggest thing in the world, but there are some ramifications for just the United States and China and how this, you know, all these things kind of work together. Potentially some backlash from that from China's perspective, maybe more restrictions from the US's perspective. So it's a little bit concerning from that perspective. And Tesla also would be using these A100 chips. Maybe Tesla could be granted an exception if they want these in China for things like full self-driving. Tesla can obviously use their dojo there when they get that up and running. So hopefully not too big of a risk from that perspective, but you know, definitely not the most exciting news in terms of US-China relations from a trade perspective. So something to keep an eye on there. Definitely bad news for NVIDIA as well. And then we talked previously about the Nord Stream 1 pipeline importing natural gas into Germany from Russia. This has again been halted, again, apparently for maintenance. This is going to be for 3 days that it is down, so hopefully it'll only be 3 days. Definitely Germany wanting to increase their natural gas stores heading into winter. I think I've read that they're, you know, somewhere about 85% of the way there. Hopefully this will come back on in a few days, but again, we saw this shutdown earlier, just always brings a little bit of risk when this happens, so something to keep an eye on from a global perspective. All right, let's get into the Model Y updates here. So we'll hop into the China Design Studio for the Model Y. And we can see here that Tesla has reduced the estimated delivery dates from previously. This was, you know, 12 to 16 weeks. Then it got cut to 4 to 8 weeks. Now it's cut to 1 to 4 weeks for the rear wheel drive standard range, quote unquote, Model Y. We still see pretty long wait time estimates for the long range versions. Those are still at 16 to 20 weeks for both the performance, or I guess for the performance. Long range is at that, and the performance is at 12 to 16 weeks, so significantly higher. What I think we're seeing here with the standard range Model Y or the rear wheel drive version, we know Tesla does this delivery batching. We know in the beginning of the quarter, they export vehicles. In the end of the quarter, they're going to be delivering these in China. We also know that Tesla just increased production from Giga Shanghai. So all these vehicles that they're producing this month, it's going to be, you know, what, 50,000 Model Ys probably in September that Tesla produces, somewhere in that ballpark. These are all going to be delivered in China. So I think that's what we're seeing here. I would imagine that as September comes and goes from a calendar perspective, these wait times will hop back up into delivery estimates towards the end of Q4. So I think that's what we're seeing here. If we look at the German design studio, as I discussed previously, I do believe these vehicles are exported from Shanghai, the rear wheel drive versions that just became available to order in Europe. I do believe these are coming from Shanghai, and we're still seeing very long delivery estimates on this for end of Q4 and into Q1. So it's not something that's concerning to me from a demand perspective or anything like that. As Tesla is ramping up production, we should hope to see these wait times come down. This is, you know, prohibitive to Tesla selling vehicles right now because people don't want to wait that long. And we can see still on other trims, still really long wait times, still long wait times internationally. And of course, this vehicle is not even available in all countries. Can't order that really in the United States. So not something that I'm concerned about from that perspective. In the United States, Tesla has also reduced the other thing I want to mention on China, just because we are seeing the long range versions have much longer wait times, could be a battery constraint thing too that Tesla's having here. Maybe they have more supply of the lithium iron phosphate, less supply of the 2170s. We know Giga Berlin is relying on that. We know Giga Texas is relying on those 2170s. So maybe just a little bit less supply on those versus the lithium iron phosphate packs. In the United States, Tesla has also reduced the delivery wait times for the base version of the Model Y. So previously, if you know, Tesla would have the design studio load with these additional wheels as an option, a couple $1,000 option there, Tesla prioritizing those deliveries as they are higher margin vehicles. That has changed, and now this vehicle with the base wheels, previously that was an April 2023 to June or July delivery window. Now we're seeing December of 2022 to April 2023. That had previously moved up to March, so it had already moved up by a month. Now we're seeing it move up by even 3 months more for this base vehicle. So it could mean cancellation of orders as, you know, Tesla has to work through the implications and the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act, the changes to the electric vehicle tax credit. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be trying to position their orders into January so that they can earn that credit if they are eligible and if the vehicle is eligible, which that last part is still a little bit of a question mark in terms of what the exact credit breakdowns are going to look like, but definitely it's going to be on customers' mind. Tesla, even if there aren't any changes to orders at this point, might even be pulling this, you know, estimated delivery window forward just to anticipate some of that, because some customers inevitably are just going to want to wait. Hopefully Tesla's got a decent amount of orders that already happened at lower prices, and people aren't going to want to cancel those orders and reserve at a new higher price and then go to the back of the wait list. So I don't think this is going to be too big of an issue, and there are the income caps and things like that that make people not eligible anyway. So I don't think it's going to be a huge deal either, but I think that's probably the main factor going on here with the Model Y delivery estimates in the United States. So both these things happening at the same time, yes, you can always get concerned about demand. The wait time is a two-sided story, though. For every concern about demand, you could be bullish about production increases from Berlin, from Texas, from Shanghai, from Fremont. would obviously counteract any potential, you know, could be a reason as well for shorter wait times. So those are my thoughts on that. Interesting thing here from Giga Texas today. We do see, this is from Brad Sloan, I believe, on YouTube. Looks like just near the factory there at Giga Texas, Tesla is now starting to ship Model Y vehicles out via rail. So this should be a very, very smooth process for Tesla logistically. Should be very big cost savings here versus transporting all these on trucks and trailers. So exciting to see this, you know, not surprising to see Tesla having built Giga Texas in such a way that this is something that can be accommodated very simply, but it is going to be huge cost savings for them once they get things up and running to high volume at Texas. And we're already kind of seeing, you know, there are a lot of cars sitting here waiting to be onboarded there to these trains. So exciting to see a little bit of that. Another thing on Model Y here, we do have the, according to Tesla Motors' Instagram page, Tesla started deliveries of the Model Y in Singapore today. I don't really have any more comments on that, but always exciting to see Model Y being expanded in terms of the countries available. All right, let's get into this insurance test. I'm sure many of you have seen this by now. This is one of the dumbest tests I've ever seen. AXA Insurance, they did this test where they launched a Model S off of a ramp and then it started on fire, allegedly. They're trying to show that electric vehicles can start on fire and then how that would be reacted to. They have a fire truck pull up and put it out, and there was like 500 people at this event like watching this. They put out a press release on this. During all of that, they made no mention of the fact that they had taken the batteries out of this vehicle. So you can see if you look closely, this is being pulled by another car, which, you know, they show at the beginning here. It's being pulled by a Model X. They took the batteries out, and what's starting on fire here is not the vehicle, but rather pyrotechnics that they put in the vehicle. They admitted this to a German publication, just explaining that they were demonstrating a battery fire would have been, or they say demonstrating a battery fire would have been too dangerous due to the guest presence, which is why the battery cells of the electric cars were removed before the tests. What are you showing if you're taking the battery's out of the car. You're just gonna you're testing out fireworks? Like, what is the purpose of doing this? There really doesn't seem to be any. If you're trying to show a hypothetical situation of how first responders would react, I guess I kind of understand that, but make that very clear in the press release that you do, in the video that you do, that this is not a vehicle catching on fire itself. And they apparently didn't think that that was an important detail. So, not surprising. This is a $100 billion company, insurance company. Definitely, probably not the biggest fans of Tesla with Tesla insurance. I think I read that they have some contracts or, are heavy insurers into in the oil and gas industry. Haven't fact checked that, but definitely seems like it could be at play here as well. Really just a stupid test all around. But I guess they proved to us that pyrotechnics will catch on fire and explode. So some great new information there from AXA Insurance. If you have that company, I'd probably consider looking at a different company as your carrier. Next here, we've got an update from ONS. So we had not seen this full interview. We talked about this earlier this week. Hadn't seen this published yet. It has now been released on Vimeo. So I've put the link to that in the description today if you do want to watch the entire video. Nothing too new here. As we had mentioned during the recap of this, Elon had mentioned that he ideally is trying to get wide release of FSD done in the United States later this year, or by the end of the year, and he said hopefully in Europe as well, depending on regulatory approval. He mentioned that he's still working on Master Plan Part 3, hopefully finish that in a month or two. We kind of laughed at that. Similar thing to what we had heard before. Said it's really focused on how big of a challenge it's going to be to, not how big of a challenge it is, but how to solve the incredibly big challenge of scaling up to a sustainable energy economy, what that's going to look like from a materials perspective. Mentioned that really the big issue is going from raw materials or ore into battery grade refined process materials. So a little bit more on that. He mentioned that by 2030, he thinks half of vehicle production will be electric vehicles, maybe a little bit better than that, he said. And then by 2035, he said it might be 80%. So that's kind of the ballpark that he's thinking. A couple of comments on SpaceX. I had to kind of chuckle too. They introduced him as an angel investor, among other things, which I don't know where that came from, but I thought they did good, a pretty good job with the interview. It's pretty quick, 20 minutes, but nothing too new. Still a good one to watch though. A couple of last Tesla things here. So the virtual power plant project that we've been talking about in California looks like that did have another scheduled event tonight. I think just a 4-hour one in this occasion. So Tesla customers that are in this, in this test should have another opportunity to earn some revenue from that event, and Tesla providing more power for California from the virtual power plant. So always fun to see those events, and hopefully as we see more of them, learn a little bit more about them, and Tesla does as well through the testing process. We've also got some news here on Giga Berlin. So this is coming from Maz.de, I believe. Not familiar with this publication, but they are saying that Tesla is going to be having an event at Giga Berlin on September 11th. Sounds like this is going to be pretty much open to anybody that would like to attend. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. to learn more about the Gigafactory, and just, some things. Not necessarily like the Cyber Rodeo event, but no tickets, no registration requirement this time. Just kind of drop in, learn more about the factory, and about what Tesla is doing in Berlin. So if you are in the area, definitely learn more about that. Obviously, don't have all the details here, but should be a pretty interesting thing for those that are nearby. All right, do you have a couple of other things, just general automotive industry here? So Ford and Rivian, according to Automotive News, have asked the U.S. Department of Interior to consider adjusting restrictions on mining. We've talked about this before, how long the approval process is in the United States to get a mine up and running for these critical EV materials that the Inflation Reduction Act strongly incentivizes coming from the United States. There's only so much you can do if you can't get a permit to get those materials. So hopefully this is sort of a, sequential thing where, all right, we've laid out the path for what we want to do. Now we need to make some adjustments to actually make that happen in terms of some of the permitting and restrictions that are in place. So kind of good to see Ford and Rivian arguing for that. I'm sure Tesla is, having similar conversations as well. So good to have some allies in that regard. And then next, we've got an update from BMW. So this is the other thing that I would say falls into the classification from the thumbnail. BMW here celebrating the commencement of in-house production of fuel cells for the BMW iX5. So this is all about hydrogen. You can tell how important this press release is and how informative it is by the the number of hashtags they're using here. Not sure why they do that in their press releases, but it makes it kind of hard to read. Anyway, they are talking about hydrogen and celebrating it. Oliver Zipse, the chairman of BMW's board, said, "As a versatile energy source, hydrogen has a key role to play on the road to climate neutrality, and it will also gain substantially in importance as far as personal mobility is concerned. We think hashtag hydrogen-powered vehicles are ideally placed technologically to fit alongside battery electric vehicles and complete the electric mobility picture." Also said, "By commencing small-scale production of fuel cells today, we are demonstrating the technical maturity of this type of drive system and underscoring its potential for the future." Frank Weber, their member of their board of management, also commented that our many years of research and development work have enabled us to get the very most out of hydrogen technology. If we go down a little bit further here, we can see that the very most, sorry, my highlighted is a little bit off here, but we can see that the very most that they're able to get out of this is 170 horsepower from the continuous output of the hydrogen fuel cell. They then pair that with an electric motor. That gets the vehicle, the iX5, I think that's what it's called, the iX5. They get that up to 374 horsepower, so more than half the horsepower coming from the electric motor and a high-performance battery, which should maybe tell them that, you know, they've got something there that is good technology that can actually make vehicles work well. So they should probably look more into that, that new electric motor and battery combination of technology. So anyway, I've highlighted a bunch of things in here, but they talk about... yeah, my highlighting got messed up, but they talk about how the combination of the fuel cell drive system, you know, it's using two different fuel cells. The powertrain also has an electric motor, also has a battery. Like, just the point that we always talk about with plug-in hybrids, you're just adding a lot more things into the powertrain. You're adding complications. It's going to add production costs. It's going to make the vehicle inefficient, most likely. So... but BMW, you know, they're celebrating it. I had to kind of chuckle here because even before I opened this, I was like, man, BMW and Toyota, these companies are just doing such dumb things. And then I come into this and I read the announcement and it talks about how they are sourcing the cells, the fuel cells from Toyota, and they're celebrating their almost 10th year of collaboration on hydrogen. So makes sense, right? Not surprising. All right, anyway, moving on, we've got a couple of updates here on SpaceX. So NASA has awarded SpaceX, I believe, 5 more contracts here. Yeah, 5 additional crewed mission contracts through 2030. And this will be valued at about $1.4 billion of revenue for SpaceX for these contracts. So nice to see for SpaceX in this regard. Definitely not surprising, but always good to see. And then SpaceX today did complete a static fire test on their Super Heavy booster number 7. So this is the first time on the Super Heavy booster that they have test fired multiple Raptor engines. So I think they were trying to do 3 here. It's not confirmed if they did do 3 or if they did do 2, kind of TBD on that. But this is the first time they've done that on the Super Heavy. They did previously do multiple engines on Starship test number vehicle SN24, I believe. So exciting to see Tesla, or exciting to see SpaceX kind of ramp these up. If this is indeed not just pyrotechnics like AXA Insurance or AXA Insurance. On that note, we'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday. Are we on Thursday tomorrow? Oh yeah. Last thing I'll mention just before we go here, and hopefully the intro didn't cut out today, but we'll see. Last thing I want to mention, I did get FSD Beta 10.69.1. I haven't driven it yet. I thought I had enough equipment to record. Turns out I did not have the equipment I needed. Long story on that, but got that ordered today. Hopefully getting that tomorrow, and we'll probably do a test drive on Friday, depending on the news flow. So just a quick update on that. But otherwise, that's it for today. So we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, September 1st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.